This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 61. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey, master financial coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we are both so grateful you joined us. Call us right now with your questions or comments. 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Drinking coffee nowadays, huh?
Rarely. I had a cup of tea to start the morning, but then my husband made this coffee from, you know, our sponsor, and it smelled really good. So filled up what? My cup. I'm waiting for it to cool because I'm one of those who has to wait until it's lukewarm before I drink beverages.
I post on Twitter. I've now become a iced coffee drinker.
Really? Yeah, I have a hard time with that because I drink everything black. So.
Oh, okay.
It tastes kind of gross when it's cold.
I think I'm doing it because it's lately it's been like in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's getting hotter and hotter. Summer's
last
setting
Sunday,
in.
I ordered Starbucks through the app to go pick up, which was brilliant because the Starbucks drive-through line is always so long. And I got a Frappuccino for the first time in like 20 years.
Whoa, look at you.
And I usually just get the chai tea latte, but I decided to go with Frappuccino and I was not disappointed. It was way more sugar and calories than I normally do, but
I would... On my previous live stream I used to do years ago and podcast, used to talk about calories of food that people don't realize. I already know what's in those things.
Oh, it was like my meal.
No, yeah, it's exactly. Pretty much.
But you know what? And just to be clear, I only go to Starbucks like once or twice a year, practically. It's not a regular thing for me.
That, you know what? Now that you bring that up, that wouldn't be a bad savvy savings talking about the real content of what food you're buying. Like we could play a little game. I could play a game with you. Which is better for you? And we'll just go through a list.
I'm not sure how that's saving money, but.
Well, you know, it relates back to taking care of your body and your health, because that later on life is like one of the worst things that can happen in retirement is your health. It's your biggest cost expense. In retirement,
well,
is your
healthcare. Coffee's not that great for you. It's very high in acid, so I generally avoid that. That and caffeine. That's why I usually just drink green tea.
What do we got on this podcast?
Oh, you didn't want to talk about your brand new chair that you've been waiting months
for? Oh my God, yes. Well, you got your chair first, and I finally got mine. I got bumped up by 2 weeks, so I was very thrilled to death. Secret Labs, it's a lot of the professional... This sounds so, I laugh every time I say professional video game players wear the have. Yeah. But whenever they fill up stadiums and arenas when they do the professional gaming, it's the chairs that they have on the stage that they're in. So they're big sponsors of that stuff. But I'm telling you, the website, if you go to it, Secret Labs, I think it's secretlabs.com.
No, secretlab.co.
That's .co. Okay. They tout
and
a
it's
lot
Secret
of,
Lab, no S.
Secretlab.co. It's not in Consumer Reports. You know how I am about that. And you can't go to a store and sit in the chair. So you're basically taking a risk, but you can return it. I don't know what it's like return. How is it returning a chair, Amanda?
Yeah, it wasn't fun. You got to have a truck because you're not taking it back apart and it won't fit in a car.
I'm basically taking a leap of faith with this chair, but you know, I go to Staples and all these places. You sit in a chair. As soon as I sit in, I know within a second if I like it or not. It's first impression for me. Like we said, it's a very personal thing, right? A chair that you're going to be seeing.
You can get it personalized with different colors.
Oh, yeah.
Patterns.
I told you, man, I'll send you a chair. If you're going to be on the team... They have a lot of game logos, movie logos, stuff like that. But I bought this black one. It's a stealth one with red stitching. It's got the real high quality leather on all that with the Anyway, that's not why I bought it. I love it.
Some of these have, so one of the features is it's a leveled seat base, possible to sit cross-legged, whereas Amanda, the other one is a snug fit seat base. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. You can recline this thing all the way back. It has a memory foam pillow, mm-hmm. and it doesn't tip over. I can sit this thing all the way back and just take a nap right at my desk.
Now, which version did you get?
I have the Titan. So it's black. Carbon fiber fabric is all red stitch, which my car is like that. So it's all black. I didn't get anything really gaudy.
Yeah.
But you'll see it in the live streams now because the logo is right behind my head. My feet are off the floor. This thing goes up so high, which is weird. I know you're supposed to have it flat, but I can recline it. But the lumbar and everything, I have back injuries from my fire department career. And from a T-bone accident I had like 5 years ago, I was hit by a truck. I was driving my Honda Civic, like a T-bone high speed. So that, I have a herniated disc between C1, C2, which is almost up to your brain.
Yeah.
But with all that, I avoid pain medicines. I don't do any of that. But if I stay active, I actually don't have any pain. The chairs I had before were an issue. And I had a Costco chair. Costco. Mm-hmm. I had one of those. The foam has pressed down where I start sliding. I start slouching. So I took a leap of faith. I said, I'm going to pay $400 for this chair. So I bought this one. And this one, if you look at the website, it's based on your height and weight.
Yeah.
So you would only need the Omega.
Yeah.
That's a compliment. You really need the Omega.
Because I'm short.
You're shorter. So I didn't need the XL because I'm not overweight. They have one, you know, that's even bigger than what I am now. It's wider by a couple inches. So I got the Titan and I took it out of the box. It came with every tool. It was nicely packaged. It was the most perfect packaged thing. I mean, you wouldn't even think it was an office chair. I mean, the crap I've bought before, you can't read the Chinese instructions or anything. Yeah. Pictures, everything came with all the tools, and within like 5 minutes, my chair was ready to go. Right. It was amazing. Anyway,
I'm a little jealous because I bought the $100 chair, and it's already starting to
speak. I'm going to send you an Omega one. You need to pick it out. I'm just sending it to you. Pick it out. Yeah, pick out your colors.
I like the charcoal blue.
Okay, I'm going to ship it down. Now I had to wait 2 months for my chair, so. Okay. They have so many people that want these chairs. It's like trying to get a Peloton. That's how popular these chairs are.
Maybe I'll have it by Christmas.
There you go. It'll be your Christmas present. There you go. All right. Anyway, so.
Yeah, I bet they're going like hotcakes because everyone's working from home and their backs hurt. Yeah.
I'm so impressed with this chair and the packaging and and the instructions. I would have no problem recommending it or buying another one. No way. I'm in. I'm sold. I posted my old chair on a neighborhood Facebook group. That sucker was gone in a minute. Literally 60 seconds. It's like, here, someone just come take my old chair. I got a new one. Someone just
came in. You posted for free?
I gave away for free. Well, the cylinder needs to be replaced. It's a $99 chair when I bought it. Like
10
years. 10 years ago, I bought this from Costco. The cylinder needs to be replaced. So that's about 30 or 40 on Amazon. And the padding on it is pushed down. So it's not as comfortable and you will slide off of it because it's leather. If you combine all that, I could have made $10, $20, but I wasn't worried about it. I wanted it away. I wanted it gone. I'm trying not to clutter. You told me you're picking on me and I'm trying to get rid of stuff. So
there you go.
Great
chair. You're excited.
Real quick update on investing. Not in the show notes, but I just read it this morning in the news. It will affect your shopping and budgeting this Christmas coming up. It is July, Amanda. It's not that far away. Christmas shopping is going to be here in like 2 months. Some people start in July, actually, in August. There's brand new video game consoles coming out that your kids and teenagers, your husband's going to want to buy. Does your husband play video games?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Is he going to want the new PlayStation 5 or the new Xbox or anything like that? Or
No, he's not.
This is a big Christmas for video games.
Even if he does, you heard my reaction, right?
I picked it up. He heard it too.
He's like, oh, I guess I don't want that.
I guess I don't want my Black Ops game or Call of Duty.
He only plays FIFA usually, you know, like because he's a huge soccer fan.
Oh, okay. Then he'd like Fubo TV then.
Yeah, probably. Fubo TV. And when you said that, I did pick up on that he might like that.
Oh, okay. There's two big consoles coming out this year. So it's a big Christmas for video games. That's the way it's going to be. Video game prices are typically $59 if you want to buy a new video game.
Yeah. Crazy.
So, okay. You're going to love this news then. There's a move right now for the new video games coming out for the PlayStation 5, the new Xbox. The games will now be $69.99.
Yeah, that's insane.
So apparently the cost of video game production and development has gone up 100, 200 million per game, but they have not raised these prices in years. I remember when they were like 29, 39, 40. So apparently with a new console come out, we haven't had a new console in a while. PlayStation 4 and Xbox have been around a while. This is going to be their move to go to $70. Let's just say 70. This is what I want to say on two fronts. Number one, if you're interested in buying stocks, because we've talked about video game stocks before, this would be the time to do it because $10 a video game, that's a pretty good increase in the cost of a game. And they're recouping losses that they're doing in the development. So their revenue should go up next year automatically. I mean, it's like Take-Two Interactive, which I like, TTWO. Also, if you're budgeting for Christmas and you're thinking about buying a PlayStation or an Xbox, you're going to have to factor in the cost of these video games. It's not going to be the $59 anymore. So I think we need to reiterate that in some Christmas episodes in the next month or two about shopping and preparing for Christmas. But just be prepared because your kids, your husband are going to want to get the new PlayStation and they're going to justify it and the new Xbox, but the video games, and more likely these games will also be digital. So they're digital downloads and not, there's two different versions of these consoles. One will take the disc, but the other ones they're trying to promote you just playing them over the internet, but you're still gonna have to pay $70. But anyway, I just wanted to, that just came up this morning. I'm like, whoa. So I'm looking at buying Take-Two Interactive as a stock because of that. So very little debt and a ton of money on cash. So basically they do the baby steps. There you go. I got a question for you, Amanda. We're going to do all questions today.
Okay.
Even though I just did a topic right there, but I thought it was something to bring out ahead of time. And we'll talk about it later. Number one, how much emergency fund would you recommend someone saves if they are anticipating getting laid off due to COVID-19? I'm on baby step two, but because of my situation, I'd like to have more funds accessible to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've been talking about. Stash your cash. Stop what you're doing on baby step two and just continue to pay minimums. You're going to stop your debt snowball and put all of that you'd been doing in the debt snowball, put it against your emergency fund instead.
Yep. There's, even though the jobs report last week, Amanda, was very positive and the president was promoting it, I'm not getting political. There's a lot of bankruptcies that are also starting to pile up.
Yeah. Well, so the jobs report, it wasn't like it was new jobs. It was people who were going back.
Correct.
Jobs.
So there's still people filing for unemployment. I watched a piece about bankruptcies and they are starting to pile up and they're accelerating. So
and people aren't able to pay their rent and their mortgages either. So evictions and foreclosures are coming.
Those are coming up, and the government subsidies of the $600 per week are getting ready to end here in another, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
There's a cliff coming at the end of July. I'm concerned. I don't know how else to put that. What are your thoughts on what's coming? I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm also concerned. I mean, it's not good what's happening.
And the Mr. Positivity in our group online, but the one good thing we have about July, which is what I've been waiting for, July has numerous advanced stage trials of vaccines. At the end of this month, we're going to know a lot about when we can have a vaccine. This is a month we've been waiting on. And this, if we don't get through this month without something approved in mass production in like October, November, if these things fail, we are, without you hitting the censorship buzzer, we are in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
The whole United States, in my opinion, hinges on this month and the vaccine trials. Johnson and Moderna, all these guys. If we don't come out with a vaccine, we are screwed.
Yeah. So bottom line, stash your cash right now.
Yep.
Stop that baby step two and just stash that cash.
Okay. Here's a question we typically do not get. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
So my husband and I are about to sell our home and we'll have about $400,000 in equity. Nice job. Nice. We have a 401k fund that is about $1 million in our savings of $25,000. We have no debt. And we're closing in on retirement. Looking for suggestions on the bulk of the funds.
Well, one, where are they going to live now?
Yeah. I mean, are you talking about rolling that 400K equity into another home or where they're going to move to? Is that
another home or prepay on some kind of retirement community? I don't know. But hopefully they have a home. I can't imagine they get to keep all of that 400K. They're going to need some kind of living situation. But whatever's left over, add to that 401k or set up IRA a Roth IRA, which is a better option.
I'm making an assumption. I think it's a safe assumption. I think they're in my camp because they're in the $1 million club with a 401k. Mm-hmm. They started this back before there was Roth. I think that's a fair assumption.
That's probably fair. And I did say Roth is better for them to put in. Obviously, they can't put all of it in a Roth. There are limits for each year, so just max it out. But if you are doing the 401k, consider converting some of that to Roth and paying the taxes on it now.
And that's what I was going to talk about. So if that million, I'm pretty confident that's all traditional money.
Yeah.
Tax rates are going to go up. Yeah. I think that's a fair assumption. One of the presidential candidates has already stated he's raising taxes, and that's Biden. That came out this week, and we got to pay back all of this debt. The debt is mounting rapidly.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be no other choice, no matter who's president. Yeah. There's no other choice but to raise taxes. So there's one candidate talking about it. The other one isn't talking about that, but he's also not talking about anything else. So.
Yeah. So converting that over and just being prepared that you have to pay taxes and all that million. So you have a million balance.
That's probably what the taxes would be too, is about 400,000.
If you converted it or if you, of course we don't know if they have a pension, any other retirement saving, how are they going to replace their incomes or are they going to keep working? Typically people that are in these situations, Amanda, keep working.
Yeah.
A lot of them actually do. I know that sounds crazy. Everyone thinks about retirement, but people that have these mindsets typically try and keep making money just to have something to do. They see people in their age group. This is me coming from me. It's common. I see people in my age group and they stop doing things and I see them age rapidly.
Physically wither away.
Well, they age rapidly and I watch them on Facebook. They gain weight quick. Their hair turns gray and they're enjoying going out and eating all the time, drinking all that. But you can see it. I don't know if that makes sense. You can just see. And I'm just staying. I just talked to a CEO last night. He's CEO of he does large scale multi-sport events on level of like Olympics and stuff. I was talking to him last night and he doesn't have to work either, but he goes, I love getting the paycheck, but he made this statement that he sees other people wither away and just age rapidly. He doesn't want to do that either. So he just be happy and he likes working. So I've worked with him before and it was a good conversation. So a lot of people agree with that, but they don't want to say it because they don't want to offend their friends. It's a reality. Anyway, also, it wouldn't be bad for them to maybe it's time to go talk to a fee-only advisor to look at their total situation. You know, lay it all out. This is what I have and pay a fee and figure out what do I need to do to make sure I'm going to navigate this properly moving forward. Anything else?
No, that sounds good.
Next question. This is right up your alley again. What is the best high-yield savings account out there? I've done tons of research, but I want to know your opinion. This has been your topic for a while.
It has. I might be changing my tune on it, Craig.
Really?
Whoa. Yes. Everyone knows I bank with my large savings account is with Marcus by Goldman Sachs. It used to be known as GE Capital, by the way, for those who are following. But GE Capital was purchased by Goldman Sachs a number of years ago. And that's what they have their online savings is through this brand that's under Goldman Sachs called Marcus. They traditionally have very high interest rates on their savings account, but they've been slowly reducing those as interest rates in general come down. So now I think it's about 1.05%.
Wow.
Which puts them about in the middle of the pack. But of course, other banks are probably going to follow suit.
Yeah.
I know right now Citibank has an online savings account at 1.20%. You know, if you just Google the best high yield savings accounts, you're going to get all the online ones, right? Yep.
Yeah. And Bankrate.com is a great place. The problem with Bankrate.com, when you go look at online banks and you look for who has the highest rate on their savings, you have to sort it because by default, their sponsors will be at the top. But so make sure you resort it. Just don't go by the initial list. The sponsors at the top. So
about a week ago, they were middle of the pack, but now I do see that all these other banks have dropped down to about 1.0%. And so I guess
it's like gas is now stations, back in the right? lead. One gas station lowers their price, the other one's, or one raises it, the other one raises it. So
yeah. So that's why I've been with Marcus is traditionally they're higher than everyone else. But you know, it's going to be, they're all pretty similar. And at this point, when you're at the 1%, between 1% and 1.25%, it's not going to make a huge difference. Even on the balance size that I have, it doesn't make a huge difference.
All right. Perfect. Oh, by the way, Goldman Sachs, great stock to buy right now. Stock pick. I currently don't own it, but they apparently came at the bottom of the list. Did you see the bank stress test was done the other day?
No.
For those of you who don't know, the federal government now does these stress tests on our banking system. This is a result of the 2008-2010 financial crisis. So this way they stress the banking system, the financial systems, that if anything ever happens again, that they can withstand it. They have the funds, all that sort of thing. So,
well, traditionally Goldman Sachs is a very conservative bank as well.
But they are a very proud firm also.
Yes.
They do not like being ranked low. So what happened the other day was when they did this stress test, they came in last.
Really?
Last place. And from what I understand from watching interviews, they don't like that. And
well,
so
who would, really? I mean,
they are, well, and they don't like being ranked. It's just one of those firms that a lot of the people on CNBC, a lot of these guys used to work there. So they know what they're like. It's just a proud thing of Wall Street. So the stock is low as a result, and people that know the company inside out says they will do everything they can to be number one at the next stress test, which I believe is October. It's in the fall. I think it's October. Yeah. So they're going to be doing whatever it needs. So that is down. Also, JP Morgan Chase, which is, it's below $100, and you should always buy JP Morgan Chase, whenever it's below 100. It's always a grab. It's the other great one. If you're looking for
I don't love investing in banks.
I don't do that either. Yeah. I personally would rather people do the sector spider for financial instead of doing individual stocks. But some people they need a financial stock in there. I stick with technology. I'm with that, but Goldman Sachs happened to come up, and I heard about that stress test system, which I'm glad we have that in the United States now.
We don't want to get into another too big to fail type situation. Oh, the last thing I would say about the high interest savings accounts that are online is check the minimum required to open an account and compare that against your situation. Like Marcus by Goldman Sachs has a $0 minimum to open an account, but things like Nationwide Bank requires $100 to open an account. This bank called Popular Direct has the same interest rate as Marcus, but you need $5,000 to open an account. So it's going to range between zero to like $10,000 to open an account.
All right. We have a lot of great ones, questions coming up. These are simple, basic ones. I love these questions. You ready? Yes. I have a 401k question. Do you manage your own 401k or do you let a company put you in a target date fund. Need advice what to do with my 401k.
I'll let you go on this one, Craig, because I know you have a soapbox answer for this. I'm 401
king, baby. Like I put the gauntlet out there, I can beat any financial advisor out there. If we went head to head, I could beat them. Like I said,
I can beat them, and I, mine's mostly by accident.
That's what my rant was the other morning, and what I said is, but here's the rule, and I would put down a money bet. They have to compete with me using a fund mix that they put one of their clients in.
Yeah.
So I know I can beat them every time. Because they would never put a client in a low-cost mutual fund because they can't make money off it. Mm-hmm. That's totally against what their company does. So anyway, so what in lines with this question, this is what we always coach, okay? Number one, your core, look in your 401k. Typically, your 401k has categories, right, Amanda? There's like the bond thing. There's fixed income. You'll see international in there. Then you'll see like an equity section. Equities, which is what the stock market is typically called. And then if you're lucky enough, you'll see large cap, mid cap, small cap. I home in on the large cap. I totally ignore everything else. I know that sounds crazy. Historically, 70 to 80% of all of the funds cannot beat this section. So why not just home in on the winners? Now, of course, Amanda, we're assuming you're not near retirement when we're doing this. We're just, if you're like age 16 to 60, this is where you need to be. I home in on, do you have an index fund? The S&P 500 index fund. Typically the numbers 500 will be in the title because they're trying to market it out there now that people agree that it is a great fund. So once you figure that one out, here's what I do, Amanda. I take the rest of the funds. So I'll say, all right, this is gonna be our core investment. Now, do any of the other large cap ones beat that one on a consistent basis? So I'll take those funds. If available, I will put it into a chart on Yahoo Finance. Sometimes they have a CUSIP symbol. It's like a five letter symbol for that fund, Amanda. Mm-hmm. So I can go to Yahoo Finance in a chart. I can put them all in a chart. I'm gonna make a YouTube video so everyone can do it on their own. And I just throw it on a chart. I put every fund on there in the large cap and see what do they do. I go long term, medium range, and short term. If a fund can consistently beat the S&P 500 index, it's a winner in my chart. I'm like, I'm in. So you can either do a 50-50 split between the S&P 500 index fund and that one or two other funds that do as well or do as better. And if it outperforms the S&P 500, I don't care what the fee is. If it earns it, I figure it earns the right to charge me for that.
Right.
But it has to outperform it consistently. And I have no problem paying 0.6%. I'll get hung up on fees. If you are winning, I will pay you all day long. Just make me money. I don't care. Some people get so hung up on the fees that they're killing themselves. So That's as simple as I do. And then the key is you never, ever touch it again. You look at it every year until you get close to retirement. We say five to 10 years. And the reason that where that 10 year thing comes in. I had to
correct your never. Just
thank you. You're such a good lawyer. And the reason why we say that, people, is typically if a stock market has a major correction like 2008, it could take 5 to 10 years to correct. And if you're totally reliant on this money and you're within 5 to 10 years of retirement date that you figured out, we want to back off the pedal a little bit. We still want to be in the stock market, but just not 100%. So
yeah, you want to protect what you have so you're not freaking out when you go to retire and your balance is lower.
I think Amanda agrees with me. Even Dave Ramsey's now jumping on board with this thinking. We don't do international investing. I definitely don't do bond investing. I definitely don't do fixed income because basically can't even keep up with inflation. You're literally losing money over time. That's not what we're trying to do. I'm 100% American stocks of the best, biggest, baddest companies of America. I'm about ready to salute right now and play the national anthem.
Yeah, there you go.
Bald eagles and everything. You literally can't go wrong. The S&P 500 is always re-indexed every year, and they figure out who are the biggest, baddest companies of America. That's the new list. So it's always adjusted for you. You always have the best. Always the
winners.
And now people are finally figuring out this is a great system. The S&P 500, people around the world marvel at it and they try and replicate it. It took many decades, though. If you go back in history, back in the 70s when they started that, people thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
But now it's proven by study after study. Anyway, all right, Amanda, how about we take a quick break and then we're going to continue the questions. No Savvy Savings Day. We're going to give Amanda a vacation break. but we want to just do a couple of shows of some questions and then just let you guys, worth giving you the show. So we'll be right back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
This podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified, licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Rock on Money, where this show is all about you and your questions. And these are great questions, Amanda. And we got 3 more to go. And I think these pretty much appeal to everybody.
Coming. Yeah.
I kind of like these. And I really want to do a call-in show. That actually, because if you've noticed, some of these questions are missing some key things that we...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're not knowing certain things that a call-in show can have. So here's another question for you, Amanda.
Plus, I might not be so mean if I actually had to talk to the person.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to ruin, I don't want to burst their bubble.
Yeah.
Hello. Quick question. How many retirement accounts should you have?
1 to 2.
Okay. Next question.
Are you moving on? No, it's a little explain.
But you know what? We know what's happened on some of the questions I have when I coach people is I'm finding out these people will have, they left a job and a 401k is sitting out there. Then they go to another job. They leave a 401k. I happen to be in one of the careers that you don't jump jobs. When you work for public safety fire department, you typically don't, I'm going to go apply for this fire department. I'm going to go this. You stay there. But nowadays, people jump jobs like I don't know, like TV shows or Netflix. Oh, I mean, it's common. So people now have accounts all over the place. I had one person.
Yeah, so I just checked the average length of time at a job. The median number of years is 4.6 years. So that makes sense that people would be having a 401k at their job, and then 4.5-5 years later, hopefully they're there long enough for whatever they're getting to vest,
right,
which is really important because that's the free money. But you only get it if you vest.
5 years is pretty common when that
five to be years vested, pretty common. So if you're at 4.6, I say stick it out a few more months. I did that at my at one of my previous jobs. It was like a 6-year requirement, so I was there like 6 years and 2 months, I think.
What was it graduated like? You got 20% per year or whatever leading up to that?
No, it was pensions. It was all or nothing. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
so that's a big difference. So it's common to have a 401k and then move to a different job and then start a new 401k. And in order to bring your old 401k with you, it requires work on your part. Not a lot, but a little bit. So you have to actively do something to roll over that balance. Mm-hmm. So Craig and I always say, bring your money with you.
Yep.
Yeah. So sometimes you're lucky and your new job is with the same 401k provider. Like maybe your old one was with Fidelity and the new one's with Fidelity, then it's easy. You're kind of within the same ecosystem already, but it's also very easy even if you're not. Every single provider has a way to do it either online, or you print the forms out from online and mail them in, and it's very easy. Even like I rolled over from my state of Florida pension into my current IRA, and it was also very easy. They sent me a check. I mailed the check in. Now, you have to be sure you do it within certain time periods. Otherwise, you're going to get nailed with penalties. But
yeah, I'm in the middle of that right now. Yeah.
Bring your money with you. So when I say 1 to 2 accounts, the reason for that is I think everyone should have a Roth IRA.
Yes.
Everyone. And so that's one account, and you're going to max that out by putting the most you can into it each year, which for 2020 is $19,500 for most individuals, again, up to whatever your earned income is. And then there's a catch up there. I'm less familiar with that, Craig, because I'm not your age, but maybe you can help.
Oh, the 401k?
Yeah. No, for the Roth IRA, you can do what, another?
It's $6,000, and you can do $7,000 once you turn 50.
Yes. Yep. So that's the Roth IRA. Sorry. And then the 401k is 19,500. That's the 19,500. Yep. Yes. Thank you for correcting me.
Sorry.
So that is a big difference. So you don't want to go over that, or you're going to get hit with penalties as well.
Yep. And please do those catch-ups. I did that in my final years in the fire department, and it makes a huge difference.
It does.
If you can.
Yeah. So you should have two accounts. One's the Roth IRA, and the other one is your 401k, if it's available to you. If it's not, if you're like you're a sole proprietor, or you work for yourself, or you're like the manager of a small business, then look into the what's called a SEP. Mm-hmm. So a SEP is also going to be a traditional IRA. So you also want to be thoughtful on the fact that it is generally traditional. And that is something that you can open if you're a small business owner. It's called a Simplified Employee Pension Plan, or SEP IRA.
But those, you can deposit a lot more money in those.
Yes, 25% of your W-2 take-home income.
So small business
and
owners.
And maybe more. I mean, speak with your accounting professional, because your situation might allow you to contribute even more.
Yeah. So that's another reason why, if you can start a small business and you actually make money, you could really accelerate your retirement savings. I mean, dramatically. Yeah.
And if it's your side gig, same thing applies. So you, I guess in this case, you could have up to three accounts. If you have your Roth IRA, your SEP IRA, and then a 401k with your main job, that's the only situation I would say you have three accounts.
Perfect. I love that. I'm in the middle of, I have to tell you, I've never had to roll over a 401k over to an IRA before. They don't make it easy.
Are you kidding? I did it. It was super easy.
Okay. But the corporation that I got permanently furloughed, I know you like when I say that, permanently furloughed from.
Laid off.
Yeah. I had a Roth 401k. And because this major Fortune 170 company, I'm not trying to say what the name of the company is.
I don't think that's a thing, but go ahead. No,
but I'm trying to give you the ranking at the same time without saying the company name. It's a worldwide huge company. But they were so big that they almost did their own 401k. So it wasn't at Fidelity or Empower or Schwab or somebody. They did their own. So they sent me this packet on what I can do. Basically, what they want to do is they don't want me to take my money away, because they furloughed so many people. They don't want to lose all the money from their institution. I'm like, heck with that. I set up an account over at Schwab, and I think I'm just trying to make sure I do it correctly so I don't get hit by the IRS.
Yeah.
I should have known that
you could have up to three accounts, because I have three now that I think about it. I have my 401k, my Roth, and my SEP.
But if you do a rollovers, just call the receiving company, make sure you do it correctly, and make sure
that way the IRS doesn't. The receiving company is going to be super helpful, because they want you to bring your money over. So they will bend over backwards to help you, I promise.
When I called Schwab, they said, yep, this is what you need to do. There were some way, Schwab, actually, you can set it up so it'll grab the money automatically. Yeah. But because this corporation was self, they're not listed, I have to make sure I do it a certain way. That way the IRS doesn't get all upset. Mm-hmm. So
Which was the same thing I had to do when I rolled over the state of Florida. It wasn't as easy, because it wasn't automatic. They had to send me a paper check first, and then I had to deposit the check. But Schwab was super easy. When I rolled over something over from Fidelity, I chatted with them online. They sent me to the place online before I was even done with the chat with them, because they were just like, hey, is everything done? I'd already had it done in like 30 seconds. Yep. And then they call you, the next day, like checking in, making sure everything's fine. They are giving you the white glove treatment when you're rolling money into their account.
It's like changing cell phone providers. They are willing to take you.
Oh, yeah.
Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity are our low-cost providers of choice. And because of those three companies, guys, they have driven costs down for everyone. And I'm a fan of them because they're beating up the big bank guys.
Yeah.
Pinstripe suits and mismatched collars, as Portnoy says. Here's a question. You've mentioned this on Savvy Savings before, and I have not used it. I'm not familiar with it. So I'm throwing this at you. Is Ibotta a way to save, earn money? What do you think of it?
I like it. I mean, it's a little clunky sometimes.
Okay. And can you say what Ibotta is first before you?
Sure. It's an app. It's I think it's an information collecting app. So if you don't want companies to know what you're purchasing, it's probably not for you. But it's an app where they have a number of retailers that participate, like Walmart, Publix, Food Lion, Costco participates, I believe. You can even order through online ones. If you go into the app first and then you click on Domino's to do your ordering that way as like a referral, you get cash back for that. But in order to get the cash back, this is why I say it's a little clunky, because a lot of cash back apps, you just scan a receipt and it'll find all the savings for you. This one, you have to look at all the available items that offer cash back and select them first before you scan your receipt. Otherwise, you don't get the cash back savings on that item. So you have, it's a couple of steps, but I've already, this year, I have, let me just check, like $124 in cash back. And then you just quit. If you want to redeem that, you can redeem it for like Walmart gift cards or a whole bunch of other different gift card options. Like one time I forgot my wallet and I was at Walmart and I was already at the checkout. I panicked. And then I checked my Ibotta app and I'm like, oh, I have money here for a gift card. And I just quickly swapped it into a gift card and it was like almost instantaneous while I was still at the checkout. And then I just paid with my app.
Wow.
Or with the electronic gift card. So that was a lifesaver then, because it was really...
So you're saying luckily
I wasn't at the live checkout. This is the advantage of these self checkouts, is there was no embarrassment. I just was, you know, trying to problem solve while I was there.
I know there's a lot of people on Facebook that hate self checkouts. I love them.
Yeah.
Give me technology every day, all day long.
It's actually annoying when I have to go through a live checkout, because I find they are so much slower than me.
Oh,
it's so aggravating.
We are in agreement. Yes. It's like, ugh.
Come on.
And the people in front of you in line, it's like, mm-hmm. Come on, get the stuff up. Stop checking your phone. Put your stuff on the thing. Let's get going. Chop, chop.
Chop, chop.
Chop, chop.
Time is money, people.
So Ibotta is similar like Credit Karma, where you're in exchange for information, I'm getting something back.
Yeah. And it's real money.
Yeah.
And they have bonuses all the time. Like if you do, you know, 15 redemptions within the certain period of time, they'll give you an extra $10 or, you know, things like that. So it's free money. Yeah. If you're already buying the things that
you have
cash back on. So because we've talked about this before, if you're buying things just to save money on it, you may not actually be saving money, because there might be other options in the same category, like generic options that are actually cheaper.
You mean if I have a coupon, I shouldn't go get it just to save that money?
Right. Okay. Oh, here's my savings to date, $178.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just by doing what you normally do.
Just by doing what I normally do, except that I have to, like I said, identify the items that will save me money first and then scan a receipt. But it doesn't take that long.
Okay, so Ibotta is a scan receipt system.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I have not used it. Is it worth me doing that, or?
It depends.
Next question.
It depends on if you shop at one of the places that offers this cash back, and it depends on if you buy the items that are typically cash back items.
Gotcha. I guess I have to leave my house to use it. But you said online. I'm going to download it. I'll try it. Cause
like I have my Walmart online account connected. And so like last weekend I did all my shopping from the sofa, and then it was set to pick up at Walmart a few hours later. And then Roscoe and I went and picked up our groceries. And in that case, you don't even have to scan the receipt because your account's connected. It does it for you.
Gotcha. Perfect. Last question for the day.
Okay.
I am wondering if I should buy my iPhone. If mm-hmm. I paid it off today, the total would be $794. I can pay the cash for it, but I'm just curious, is that a good idea?
Okay, so what this person did is one of those where, and almost every carrier is trying to force you into this pay only $19 a month or whatever mm-hmm. for your phone. And it's actually very difficult to buy a phone outright if you go to the carrier. That's mm-hmm. why I always buy mine from a separate retailer and then mm-hmm. activate it. So what happens is you're actually financing your phone. You're going into debt. They just don't call it that when you're paying $19 a month for your phone. So yes, I would put it into your debt snowball, lineup, and wherever that $794 falls in your snowball, that's when you should pay it off. So if you have a debt that's smaller than that, make sure you're paying off the smaller one first and then roll your snowball into the $794.
There you go.
It's another debt.
Yep.
Treat it just like your other debts.
Yeah. Place it in there. It's a debt.
And don't get sucked in again on these upgrades. Oh. You know, every carrier likes to send you an alert that you're eligible for an upgrade. And it just means you're rolling over what you owe on your, because the upgrade always happens before your other phone is fully paid off. So you just roll over this debt into a new debt. And you know why they do that, Craig? It's because they want to tie you into a commitment for the next couple of years.
Right.
Because if you leave, you have to pay off that balance in full. And yep. most people, like we've said, most people don't have are living paycheck to paycheck and can't even handle a couple $100 in unexpected costs. So most people would not be able to afford switching carriers.
Yeah. So there's a new iPhone coming out this fall. 5G is already being promoted like crazy on TV that everyone needs 5G. Trust me, you don't need 5G. You'll survive.
Did you see what happened with T-Mobile about a week ago?
Oh my God. Yes. And
this is after I switched. And remember how I'm like, oh, everything's great with T-Mobile. And then, yeah, I had no service for like a day. And I was in panic because, you know, I need my phone to work, but no text messages, no phone. I couldn't call my son.
So let me briefly explain if people didn't catch on what happened with the T-Mobile outage a couple weeks ago. A lot of these companies have third parties that supply the services to the network. It was one of the contracted third parties that had a failure, which just replicated across the system. So that's what happened. So
the report was they were doing an upgrade. It went bad. And then like the very next day after it was fixed, they came out with a map of all these new areas that get 5G.
Yeah.
Connected.
Because some of the networks, they can actually just do a software upgrade. Other areas have to do hardware. So there's some growing pains going on right now between all four networks. Well, now it's three. Now that I think about it, because Sprint and T-Mobile are now merged, which is, you know, some growing pains there, but they're all trying to get the 5G rollouts going right now.
I was glad I didn't work in that IT department that day.
Oh my God. which actually, that's a good segment to do in the future is how to prepare for emergencies and having a backup plan of if you lose cell phone service, how do you communicate?
Yeah. And actually that happens quite a bit when there's a hurricane or mm-hmm. you're in a very highly population dense activity, like a protest or.
Yeah. Well, is there going to be a meeting place if you can't get a hold of each other? I've had that before. My meeting place was a secret up in Pennsylvania because I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. We're a target for the whole world. We got a big bullseye on us. And that's how you need to think. They actually have plans to set up a radiation decon system at the fairgrounds near where I live. They shut off, as people escape the DC area, they will shut off all the exits to funnel people to there to be decontaminated. Like, I don't want to be part of that. So I have a rallying point with the side road maps. I know this sounds crazy, but it's what you got to think about. Yeah. Like, you're in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have hurricane plans.
Yep.
Like, how are you going to, do you have canned food? Do you keep canned food on hand all the time?
No, enough. I'm terrible. I'm not prepared at all.
Okay. I used to do stuff with FEMA. So
I'm so unprepared. I'm down to my last two rolls of toilet paper in the house.
No!
I know.
Oh my God. So anyway.
I thought that was funny when I noticed that. I'm like, oh boy.
So a lot of people started using WhatsApp. There's other apps that you can make phone calls on. you know, of course you have to have Wi-Fi, and that has to be working.
Gets knocked out.
But if there's a total shutdown of all communications, if you have a family, you should have a rallying point that you will meet somewhere at a, you know, whether it's local, distant, you know, for outside of a city. You don't know. Florida residents, I know a lot of them go to Atlanta if there's a hurricane coming.
Yeah.
That because they have a lot of hotels up there, major airport. It's just a really good location for both the East Coast and the Gulf. That's actually where they put the FEMA rescue teams at, because if the hurricane moves, Atlanta is a good spot where they can go out from that point to either the Gulf or the East Coast. Yeah, so
the hub.
Yeah, it's a great hub. So these are the things that you should already know as a family. So anyway, going back to the Vi phone, pay it off. Put it in your debt snowball plan. Debt snowball. There you go. The iPhones are coming out. Don't get caught up in the 5G thing, guys. You don't need it. 5G is like having cable internet on your phone. You don't need cable internet on your phone.
Yeah. And I told my son when he wanted to get a new phone, I'm like, okay, but you have to pay for it. He's like, well, no, they said it's only, I'm like, poor people finance phones.
Ooh, look at you.
Only broke people finance phones, just like they're financing their underwear at Victoria's Secret.
That's interesting. So where did you buy your phone? What do you have?
I have a Samsung. I just recently, like last year, upgraded to the S10 Plus.
Oh, wow. That's a good phone.
Before that, I had my son's hand-me-down like S8. Well, because I had an iPhone from like 8 years ago and finally it just wouldn't hold a charge. Mm-hmm. So I made the leap to Samsung only because my son got a new phone and I took his hand-me-down, and I had that for a number of years. So I hadn't bought a new phone in like 8 years. And then I bought it directly off the Samsung website because I had discount codes to use. I saved a couple $100s that
So time. You bought yours directly from the manufacturer?
I did. Yeah. But I mean, my husband buys phones off of eBay all the time because he goes through phones like crazy. Like he'll drop weights on it at the gym or I had bought him like with the sport Samsung. They had like this, you know, one that they claimed was unbreakable. And within like a couple of weeks of having it, he cracked it snowboarding. So, yeah.
We'll get him on the Consumer Reports team. I have a Google phone. This is my fourth Google phone. And I buy it directly from Google, the Google store. So,
yeah. Especially if you have a discount code or some kind of deal.
That's how Google operates because they're trying to compete with everybody else. So they keep giving me $400 or $500 rebates if I trade in my phone for a new one.
That was what happened with the Samsung too. I was able to trade in that old one.
Sometimes for $100. Sometimes the upgrade is such a steal. It's like they're almost making me want to do it because they don't want me to leave. So anyway.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Amanda.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.